The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome in to Bell Radio. I'm David Sears, guiding you through this journey known as professional wrestling. We have a lot to cover with Raw, NXT, and Dynamite, as well as previewing the Money in the Bank card and the big matches on Friday Night SmackDown. But first, let's get underway with some rumors around the wrestling world. According to Wrestling Observer Radio's Dave Meltzer, they're trying to figure out a way to have Vince McMahon not mess with the script. But even if you're Paul Levesque, you can't say anything to Vince because you're bleeped if you say anything to Vince. Meltzer also speculated that Triple H has to be one of those who are frustrated, while Boozer Rasslin specifically mentioned Triple H and Nick Khan as being those who didn't appreciate the changes made to last week's SmackDown because they felt it looked bad all over. McMahon's fingerprints were on Raw per PW Insider. Some of the site sources believe Vince's influence will grow as the Endeavor deal is finalized. Also, from Barry Alvarez on Wrestling Observer Radio, CM Punk and the Elite were in the building at the same time during Forbidden Door. However, they were given separate locker rooms that were as far apart as they could possibly situate them and didn't interact. Also, regarding the dangerous Tiger Driver 91 spot that Kenny Omega took from Will Ospreay at Forbidden Door, Alvarez said that the word is Kenny is okay, but I don't know if he's been checked out. Fightful Select reports on the match also mentioned concerns about its risky spots, but noted that Kenny was telling people he was okay backstage afterwards when he and Ospreay were greeted with a standing ovation and heavy praise from their peers. WKRD Wrestling is now saying that Randy Orton could possibly return as soon as this weekend's Money in the Bank. WrestleVotes claims there are two very different drastic finishes in play for the Bloodline matchup at Money in the Bank, but creative seems split on the decision. What's more, the Usos and Solo Sikoa did a run-through at a closed location to go over the match recently. Fightful Select notes that Judgment Day is beloved by everyone at WWE, and everyone is incredibly happy with the progress of the group as a whole. Fightful Select also said the goal for Dominic Mysterio is to make him a well-rounded wrestler, and that means having him work with a variety of opponents with different styles. Boozer Rasslin claims Carmelo Hayes got applause at the gorilla position for his work on Monday Night Raw this week, which included a good match with Finn Balor. And per Fightful, AEW may have tentative plans made all the way through All Out. WKRD Wrestling says that LA Knight and Damian Priest are the favorites to win the Money in the Bank match this weekend, but the account adds that there have been internal pitches to give the win to Logan Paul. Triple H isn't a fan of the idea, however, according to rival Twitterer Boozer Rasslin Elite. That account notes there have been a few discussions about Paul feuding with Knight. While WWE hoped to have Drew McIntyre back this weekend for Money in the Bank, PW Insider Elite reports nothing's been set in stone for him in plans for Raw, and there wasn't any buzz internally about McIntyre being included in the London pay-per-view. Bill Apter provided an update on Jerry Lawler's recovery from a stroke earlier this year, saying it's still hard for the King to finish sentences, but he's much better than when I talked to him about 3 weeks ago. QTV's Harley Cameron has a full-time deal with AEW, according to Fightful Select. Now some wrestling news. While StarCast originally began in 2018 with the All-In Independent Wrestling Super Show presented by Cody Rhodes and the Elite on Labor Day weekend in 2018, it only followed up with three more StarCasts in 2019, each attached to an AEW pay-per-view. After the pandemic shut down all fan-attended live events for a couple of years, StarCast returned last year, but this time it happened in the same city and at the same time as WWE SummerSlam. The sixth StarCast, however, will be returning to its roots and will be tied to AEW's All Out with a culmination of a week's worth of shows on September 3rd. At this point, September 1st through 3rd in the greater Chicago area is pretty much all we know about StarCast 6. More details should be announced in the coming weeks, with hotel information being announced this weekend. Follow their Twitter account at StarCast Events, that's StarCast with two R's. On Twitter, you'll be able to get their information as soon as it is posted. Meanwhile, June 28th marked the 25th anniversary of the infamous Hell in a Cell match between Mankind and The Undertaker. The WWE did a great job on their YouTube channel where they have Undertaker and Mick Foley watch the match together. Also, Mick Foley talked about it on his Foley is Pod podcast.
I highly suggest you go listen to that podcast. It's very insightful into what the plan was originally for the match and what audibles they had to call after the beating that the one and only Mick Foley took. Also, the YouTube video is about 25 minutes long. It's really well done, and it's fun to get insight from both Taker and Mick Foley on that. Again, Foley is pod for the podcast on the 25th anniversary of the Hell in a Cell match, and then The Undertaker and Mick Foley watching the match are on WWE's YouTube channel. Also, some fun news as we get ready for Fight Forever's release, which came out today, June 29th. WWE has announced that they will be lowering the price of 2K3 with some fun download content. The WWE 2K3's Revel with the Wyatt pack features the highly anticipated return of Bray Wyatt and the debut of the mysterious Uncle Howdy as a bonus superstar. The Revel with Wyatt pack also includes Valhalla, the leader of NXT Schism, Joe Gacy, NXT Rising Star, Blair Davenport, and Hulk Hogan's SummerSlam rival, the human wrecking machine, Zeus. All of this coming from WWE on their official Twitter account. Like I said, the Fight Forever game from AEW did release Thursday, June 29th, and has gotten pretty decent reviews from all I've seen. It is considered a throwback to the WWF No Mercy game of the N64 and a lot of the wrestling video games from the late 90s that we loved growing up, especially if you're my age, that's around 40 years old, playing those games in high school. It's got a lot of great characters. There will be some downloadable content. Danhausen will be a downloadable character. You'll also get to see Matt Hardy and Broken Matt Hardy as downloadable characters. So keep an eye out as they will put out more characters over the next few months. Also, fun fact, Cody Rhodes is still available to play. You have to purchase him from the digital download shop, but you can still play Cody Rhodes in AEW Fight Forever. So he is in two video games this year, WWE 2K3 and AEW Fight Forever. Now let's get to the TV action we have through Wednesday night. Monday Night Raw opened with the recap of Finn Balor and Dominic Mysterio over the last few weeks. They also had Rhea Ripley with Dominic to start the show in the ring. Dominic gets booed. He can never get a word out. But Ripley promises that Dominic will end Cody at Money in the Bank. So guess who comes out? That's right, Cody Rhodes. Cody welcomes those to the show and then threatens Dominic, who bails on the apron. Just to make it worse, Cody quotes the Cat in the Hat because Dominic is a scared little boy. Dominic then decides that he's just going to leave, even though Cody's saying he can get a free shot. When Dominic won't come in, Cody says he wants to see if Dominic is half the man his father is or if he's just mommy's little boy. And they stare down and they end that. First match of the night was Ricochet versus Shinsuke Nakamura with Bronson Reed ringside. Very solid match between the two. And I'm very excited to see what we do with Ricochet and Shinsuke, both in the Money in the Bank match. It was a solid match. Ricochet gets the victory. Bronson Reed was sent to the back after interfering. Then we get a recap of Matt Riddle being beaten down by Imperium. Riddle has challenged Gunther for the Intercontinental title at Money in the Bank. And then Gunther accepts. Then Dominic Mysterio says he wants Adam Pearce to give him a match tonight, but Rhea Ripley whispers something to him, so he'll get back to Pearce on an opponent. Then we get a rundown of the Money in the Bank by the numbers. It's fun, and they're going to replay it on Friday night SmackDown, I guarantee it. Next up was Raquel Rodriguez with Liv Morgan versus Shayna Baszler. Versus Ronda Rousey with Shayna Baszler. It was a solid match, very well done by Raquel Rodriguez. She was given a lot of strength against Ronda. Ronda does get the victory after a distraction. A roll-up by Ronda gives her the victory in a very short match. Then we get some video on Finn and Seth as they get ready for their big WWE World Heavyweight Championship match. Then Rollins comes out to the ring for a chat. The fans just go ahead and sing the song. And if you haven't heard the Seth Rollins song and don't know it, where have you been, my friend? He does say, hey, look in the crowd. We've got Carmelo Hayes in the front row and thanks him for having his back on NXT. Rollins tells Hayes to take care of Baron Corbin in their title match on NXT. Balor shows up and jumps Rollins. No real shock there. He beats Rollins pretty badly. He knocks him to ringside in front of Carmelo. Finn gets the chair like he's about to swing at Seth. Carmelo grabs a chair out of his hand, and Balor runs off, and we find out that Balor and Hayes will be wrestling later in the night. Tommaso Ciampa comes back and gives an interview about why he decided to take on The Miz, because he said The Miz never called him once during his time. Unfortunately, Miz jumps Ciampa before the match even gets started, so we do not get Ciampa versus The Miz. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens run into Imperium in the back, and they say they want to fight, so Gunther says he will take on Sami tonight. Owens was just amazing. He's doing some of the best promo work and just character work of his career. We find out that Tozawa is Dominic, a handpicked opponent. Tozawa puts up a pretty decent fight, but ultimately a Rhea Ripley distraction lets Dominic crotch Tozawa on the ropes, and then a frog splash gives him the victory at 149. Next up, the Viking Raiders cut a promo saying they're ready for violence. Then we get a Money in the Bank summit between Trish Stratus, Zoe Stark, Becky Lynch, Bayley, Io Sky, and Zelina Vega. That results, of course, in a melee. And at the end, Becky Lynch stands tall and she grabs the briefcase. So obviously she's not winning the match, because if you touch the championship before you wrestle for it, you just don't get it. Carmelo Hayes is in the back and he talks about how he's ready to take on Finn Balor. Becky runs into Rhea backstage and says that I'm going to cash in on you. And Ripley promises violence if Becky even tries. Lynch calls Ripley a main event side attraction and wants to get the briefcase just to make Rhea squirm. Next up was a non-title match with Gunther versus Sami Zayn. Ludwig Kaiser and Kevin Owens were in the corners of their respective opponents, Kevin on commentary. It was a solid match, though Gunther gets the victory due to some distraction by Vinci, who comes to the aid and gives a crutch shot on Sammy before Gunther hits the powerbomb. They do a 3-on-2 beatdown, and then out comes Matt Riddle with a limp. He's selling the injury to the ankle, but he takes the crutch from Vinci and just starts wailing on everybody, and the faces stand tall. Alpha Academy cuts a promo saying they're ready for the Viking Raiders thanks to Chad Gable's coaching. Natalya then cuts a promo saying that she's not giving up. She wants a title shot next week against Rhea. Next up was, I think, the match of the night, Finn Balor versus Carmelo Hayes. It was a non-title match, and Finn gets the victory, but they made Carmelo look really, really good as he heads into that. I know some folks weren't happy with Carmelo Hayes losing the night before he takes on Baron Corbin in the NXT title match, but I think it's perfectly fine, especially you don't want Finn to suffer a loss as he heads into his match against Seth Rollins. You put a little doubt in Carmelo. Can he really handle the big boys if he can't beat Finn? So I like that. I thought that was really well done. Main event of the night was Cody Rhodes versus Damian Priest. A real solid match where Cody gets the victory despite all the interference from Dominic and Rhea. And it was a really good way as they get ready to head towards their big match at Money in the Bank. I think it's going to be a good match. I don't know necessarily what the purpose of it is other than to give Cody another opponent before Brock Lesnar so the trilogy plays out at SummerSlam. Dominic did get in a cheap shot on Cody as the show ended, so no real big shock there. Cowardly heel attack as usual. Again, I don't know what the purpose of this whole match is other than to give Cody an opponent because you want Cody on the card. Cody should theoretically finish up his feud with Brock Lesnar on this pay-per-view, but they want to save it from SummerSlam so they can have more buys, more people put butts in the seat. I don't know who Roman's opponent will be at SummerSlam. I really thought it would be Cody, so we get Cody versus Roman, but I guess they're going to try to hold that off till Mania, which... kudos for the long-term booking. I guess you could do Jimmy versus Roman and have Jimmy and Jay and Roman and Solo. So we shall see what we do as we build towards SummerSlam after Money in the Bank. Next up was NXT Gold Rush Week 2. The opening match was Thea Hale versus Tiffany Stratton. it was a solid match. Thea had Duke Hudson in her corner and eventually joined by Charlie Dempsey and Drew Gulak. Thea had the Kimura locked in on Tiffany, and Tiffany was tapping, but she was the ref was distracted by Drew Gulak while Dempsey and Hudson were arguing outside. Hale makes the eternal mistake of letting go of the hold and getting the referee, which allows Stratton to get the roll-up pin. It was a great match. Thea looked very strong. You want to see her get another shot at it. Post-match, Dempsey and Gulak attack Hudson, but Andre Chase makes the return for the save, and it was a huge pop. Chase U is still over big time in NXT. Next up, we get a package for Ilya Dragunov as we get ready to see his return. He says he loves to fighting. Gallus says they still haven't heard from Joe Coffey. Then we get a flashback to last week when Dana Brooke was getting her knee looked at when Kalani Jordan came in. Jordan praised her, and there seems to be some respect between the two, so maybe a potential tag team in the future. Next up were the tag team titles, Edris Enofe and Malik Blade versus Gallus. Gallus gets the victory as Stax looks like he's going after the other Coffey to knock him in to the stairs, but unfortunately hits Enofe, sending Enofe into the steps, and then the flakjack dropkick finisher on Enofe allows Gallus to retain the title. Then we get the Metaphor, who say they don't want to talk about losing the Heritage Cup, but Jakara Jackson and Lash Legend want the women's tag team titles. Then we have a Schism family meeting with Joe Gacy, telling the Dyad to speak freely, and it ends with an interruption by the Creed brothers and the Diamond Mine. The Diamond Mine says that Schism is a cancer that wants to take over NXT. Gacy wants the Creed versus Dyad next week, but the loser leaves NXT. The Creeds are in, though the Dyad do not look happy. The Schism and Schism continues, and I'm hoping this gets resolved. I really think the Diamond Mine are going to get called up to the main roster. They're a very talented tag team. I think there's still a lot of story to be told with Schism in NXT. Next up was the Heritage Cup of Dragon Lee versus Nathan Frazier. It was a solid match. We are equal 1-1 heading into the fifth round, and Frazier got a roll-up and pin at 2:59 with 1 second to spare. It was a solid match. Dragon Lee gave everything he could. Frazier gets the win. Then we get a package with Gable Steveson training Eddie Thorpe for his Raw Underground match next week with Damon Kemp. Steveson will be in Thorpe's corner. Mustafa Ali comes in to see Wesley and apologizes for getting a little too involved as referee last week. Bate comes in to question how things went last week. Ali wants a title shot, and Bate offers to referee. Bate and Ali bicker as Wesley walks off. Then Mr. Stone was looking for Von Wagner. Von Wagner is upset what his family had to go through, and he says he can't do this right now. Next up, Gigi Dolin versus Kiana James. Gigi gets the victory. However, after the match, we get a loaded bag from James, and she clocks Dolin with it, and she has it full of paint cans and pours the paint all over Gigi Dolin. Next up, we get a package in prison where Joe Coffey visits Tony D'Angelo and says that Stax was the one that set up Tony D'Angelo, plays him some audio of Stax talking about the kidnapping last week. Then we get a look at Blair Davenport jumping Roxanne Perez during a fan Q&A show on TikTok. Then JC Jane says she's not happy with Leah Valkyrie, and Leah pops up and hits her in the face. Then Rhea Ripley pops up to say Jane deserved that and Valkyrie is a badass. The Dyad are upset, and they're talking to The Rock's daughter Ava in the backstage area, and they're very upset. And Carmelo Hayes gets a visit from Rhea saying that he is now on the radar of the Judgment Day. We finally finish up with Baron Corbin versus Carmelo Hayes. One heck of a match. Really well done. Baron Corbin looks really good, but unfortunately for Baron, he was back as the Lone Wolf now. He's wearing the Lone Wolf gear and having the Lone Wolf music. Nothing but net hit on Corbin, allowing the one and only Carmelo Hayes to retain the title. And then we find out that next week at Great American Bash, we'll get a one-on-one with Tyler Bate and Mustafa Ali. Then we'll have Bron Breakker show that he's beaten everyone and that he's tired of Shawn Michaels. He storms out of Sean's office and says you'll see what he means next week. On Wednesday night, we had the fallout from Forbidden Door on Dynamite. Opening match was Jon Moxley versus Tomohiro Ishii. The rest of Blackpool Combat Club was outside, minus Bryan Danielson. Ishii and Mox worked very stiff, beat the ever-loving hell out of each other. It was a very good match. Then we get the one and only Eddie Kingston to run down to kind of even out the odds and prevent the Blackpool Combat Club from ganging up on Ishii while Mox distracts the ref. Then we get a Moxley and Kingston yelling at each other post-match, and it was starting to set up something between the two of them. Next up, we're backstage when Adam Cole Bebe arrives and is greeted by Renee Paquette. When MJF comes in to be friendly with Cole, says the tag team tournament is a great chance for Cole to get somewhere because he can't beat MJF for the world title. MJF even has the matching tag merchant shirt, which says, better than you, Bebe. Cole was not happy about it. It was pretty funny. Then we go to commercial. We come back, and Renee Paquette isn't happy with Moxley, that what he's been doing there with Eddie Kingston. And then Eddie interrupts and yells, forcing Renee Paquette to speak up, and says she doesn't care about some Chikara BS. And Paquette says they need to work on this to fix it, specifically telling Eddie he needs to fix it. Then we get video of Omega versus Ospreay at Forbidden Door. One heck of a match that if you haven't seen, you need to see. It was amazing. Definitely one of the Match of the Year candidates. Next up, we have a trios match of Orange Cassidy, El Hijo del Vikingo, Keith Lee, versus Daniel Garcia, Daddy Magic, Mike Menard, and Angelo Parker. It was a really solid match, a lot of fun. Of course, you get all the spots you would expect from a Orange Cassidy-involved match. El Hijo del Vikingo is one of the most amazing wrestlers we have on the face of the planet right now, and every time he was in the match, he stole the show. The faces get the victory as Lee hits the supernova on Daddy Magic for the victory. Elite then come up and say they have issued an open challenge for a trios match. When the Dark Order interrupts, the Order yell at Hangman for not talking to them anymore. So tonight it's a fight. And they're like, really? And they're like, yeah, we're going to fight you. Then we get a promo with Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara ready to face Sting and Darby Allin. Jericho says that he and Sting aren't done. And oh yes, he's going to be the Painmaker tonight rather than Jericho. The Dark Order take on the Elite next. They're represented by Negative One as he escorts out Alex Reynolds, John Silver, and Evil Uno. It was a very good match, a very interesting match, because Hangman did not want to fight the Dark Order. He kept trying to avoid anything with them. He would tag out whenever he got in there. Finally, Page gets upset enough when John Silver slaps him in the face, and it causes him to just to start wailing on him. Eventually, the Bucks are able to hit the BTE trigger on Silver, and then Buckshot Lariat finishes Silver. After the match, the Blackpool Combat come runs down and starts beating up the Elite, while the Dark Order just watches. Jon Moxley even busts out a screwdriver for some gouging on Page while the Order leaves. Moxley then issues the challenge for a Blood and Guts match on July 19th. Kanesuke Takeshita was with the Blackpool Combat Club as well as Don Callis. No one saw Kenny Omega, so we'll find out what they're going to do. I think it's going to be a 4-on-4 unless Bryan Danielson is cleared. We will have some more info about what's going on with him in the next segment. We also get an update on what happened with Sting after the show. Next up, we get a video of the men's Owen Hart tournament. It is an amazing tournament. I can't wait to see where it goes. That cuts back to the parking lot where Adam Cole, Bebe, and Roderick Strong meet up in the back when MJF goes, what up, partner? Hey, generic white guy, to Roderick Strong, which was hilarious. Cole actually leaves with MJF for some bonding as they get ready for that. Then we get Jungle Boy, who cuts his Tarzan song short. He talks about how he's banging the hottest woman in the place, And he says, did I turn on Hook or did everyone turn on me? He's been cost 2 world championships and has to see Hook with his unrecognized title. Hook is a fraud. And when Jungle Boy gets his hands on Hook, and before he can finish that, Hook runs out. Jungle Boy runs off, gets chased by the one and only Hook. Next up was supposed to be Britt Baker versus Ruby Soho, but unfortunately, Britt Baker caught whatever bug that Adam Cole Bebe had and was unable to wrestle. So their Owen Hart Foundation Tournament Cup match will be next week. Ruby Soho took on a local jobber named Alexia Nicole, and she gets a quick victory. They add the spray paint for the bonus, and then she says that Ruby says she has never been better, but Baker's a shell of her former self. Next week, we're going to have some violence. Then we get a promo with Johnny TV saying he's ready to take out Mac Hardy and Brother Zay on Rampage. Then we get a lineup of what's coming up on Rampage Friday night. Main event was the Painmaker, Chris Jericho, and Sammy Guevara versus Sting and Darby Allin in a Texas Tornado match. Everything was legal. It was an absolute brutal match. There's a spot there that it looked like Darby was going to dive off a ladder in the ring to 2 tables set up outside with Sammy Guevara. But Sting says, let me do it. And Sting shorted the landing. He ended up shorting himself, hitting his thighs across the edge of the table, was able to continue on with the match, and eventually wins the match via the Scorpion Deathlock, making Jericho tap. It was a pretty good episode. It felt a little flat because the two best matches were not, the people that participated in the two best matches of Forbidden Door were not actually in the building with Kenny Omega and Brian Danielson. So hopefully we'll get those guys back. Should be a stacked show for this Friday night's Rampage. We'll have Johnny TV and QT Marshall versus Matt Hardy and Isaiah Brother Zay Cassidy, Sean Spears versus The Blade, Hikaru Shida versus Taya Valkyrie, and then Claudio Castagnoli versus Commander for the ROH World title. Now, the show that will start before that will be SmackDown on Fox at 7 Central. The things that have been advertised so far is the return of Roman Reigns with Solo Sikoa and Paul Heyman. Logan Paul will be a special guest on the Grayson Waller Effect. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens will take on the Pretty Deadly for the tag team titles. And then Asuka versus Charlotte Flair for the WWE Women's Championship. Those matches will be on Friday night. We'll probably get some other stuff added as well. Now, some sad news and part of the fallout from AEW Forbidden Door. Brian Danielson has a severely broken right arm. He was able to finish the match, but the fracture is bad enough that he could miss 6 to 8 weeks of action, meaning he may possibly miss All In London and All Out in Chicago. But we do have some good wrestling injury news, as Sting was not as severely injured as it looked. He did say that he's probably going to need a few stitches for his lip, and he did probably loosen a tooth, but nothing serious. He was very grateful for Tony Khan in the post-Dynamite pre-Rampage speech, saying that he is grateful that Tony Khan lets him go out and perform the way he wants. Now, Sting is no spring chicken. He is 64 years old. He's got to be looking at retirement soon. But according to Sting, he hit his mouth on the second table after landing on the first table. Unfortunately, it was pretty bloody, but good news is he won't be injured and out of action for long. Just probably going to cut a promo after that. Now, the big event on Saturday happening at 2:00 Central Time on Peacock will be Money in the Bank. We have this card so far. The Men's Money in the Bank ladder match for the Men's Championship match contract will feature Ricochet, Shinsuke Nakamura, LA Knight, Santos Escobar, Butch, Damian Priest, and Logan Paul. The Women's ladder match will feature Selena Vega, Becky Lynch, Zoe Stark, Bayley, Io Sky, and Trish Stratus. We'll have a singles match with Cody Rhodes versus Dominic Mysterio with Rhea Ripley. Rhea is not defending her title at all this weekend. The singles match for the World Heavyweight Championship will be Seth freaking Rollins versus Finn Balor. The main event will probably be the Bloodline Civil War tag team match with Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa, with Paul Heyman versus the Usos, Jay and Jimmy. The Women's Tag Team Championship will be on the line with Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler versus Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. And then Gunther versus Matt Riddle will be for the Intercontinental Championship there in London. Now, you can follow me on Twitter at DavidSears75. I promise I'll tweet out some more wrestling stuff. I won't be able to watch Money in the Bank till Sunday, so I'll be tweeting stuff out that'll be old, but you'll still get my insight. So you should follow me on Twitter at DavidSears75. Follow Tony Curry Radio on Twitter at Tony Curry Radio. Follow me on Instagram at DavidSears1982. Follow Tony Curry Radio on Instagram at Tony Curry Radio. You can download the app. It is TKR in the Apple App Store, and it is Tony Curry Radio in the Android Marketplace. Listen there, download, subscribe, help get our listener numbers up. Please and thank you. Now, I will be back Monday with a review of SmackDown, with a review of Rampage, and a review of Money in the Bank as we get ready to head towards SummerSlam, All In and All Out. So, let me bid you adieu and wish you to have a nice day.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.